Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy. How are
good
you guys
morning.
Doing this morning? We're this will be toward the very end of May now, before the June starts. May's the 29th, I think. This is
May 29th, yeah.
Wow. Amazing. time goes and the summer's coming. By the time
which
this,
is part of why we're doing this right now, right?
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. We got some interesting, fun things to do this summer. My grandson Aiden, by this time he will have graduated. By the way, from high school.
When is graduation for him? Mid May?
May 23rd.
Okay.
Yeah, so
tell him congratulations. That's great.
We get back from our trip from France, and then he graduates the next day. Actually, so.
Hey, it helps to be the one in charge of choosing the dates, huh?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, well, it's kind of funny. I think a lot of us have graduations and stuff going on, and they actually liked it that it was a little bit earlier in May. Generally, we do it at the end of May. So
I think that works well when you start talking in graduation season and end of school year. There's so many things going on, right?
Yeah, but he was privileged. He's part of a business organization called DECA.
Mm-hmm.
It's international, and they have tournaments starting in February to compete. And it's all about business. So they have like 10 or 11 categories, and then you pick a category. And his was international business.
Mm-hmm.
So he has to present a case, and then he has to meet in front of judges, a panel of judges, and they've graded him on the written document that they provide.
Mm-hmm.
How well was that done, and what did it say, and did it have good content, and did it was it pretty? Then they have a presentation. So they grade them on their presentation of the material, and in ways that, you know, is creative and visual, and, you know, they can explain it. And then the third category is how well did they handle the challenges that the judges gave them about their business situation. And they would ask them, and they would be, here's a question, and what they're judging is how well do you think on your feet.
Right.
Do you think like an executive, which is what they're trying to teach them? And then how do you handle when somebody pushes you? Because they kind of purposely push them. So what happens is you do that in your school, and you got to kind of place in your school. Then you do it for the state of Colorado, which you have to be in the top, 20 or 30 or 50. And then the United States has a competition.
Right.
And then if you pass that, you go to this international competition.
Right.
So he just.
And this year it was out in California. Is that right?
Anaheim, yep. California. Yep. And there's kids from all over the world.
Super fun.
That come. And he in his group, and this is kids from all over the world that have become, the top, 15, 20 of their particular country or whatever. He said there in his group, there were like almost 1,500 kids because they're from all these different countries all over the world. And then they have to present. They get cut down from the 1,500 to 500.
Mm-hmm.
Then they present again, and then they're cut down to the top, I think it's 20 or 30. And then from there, the final one is then you present and you get ranked. Well, he just got home last night, and he made the top 10.
That is amazing. That is absolutely amazing. Yeah. You think about that.
Yeah. Yeah. And the way they do
what was his topic? What did he, do you know what he was working on there?
He had just come up with some, he has to come up with some product and that he wants mm-hmm. to sell internationally. And I don't even know exactly what he picked, but
yeah, I'd love to hear his project sometime. I bet that'd be interesting.
Yeah. But, they do it. They're really, you know, kind of clever. What they do is they say, okay, you are, and you get a trophy for this. You're top 10, but they don't rank mm-hmm. them. They don't rank them 1 to 10.
Right.
They said later he'll let him know kind of where he fit in the 10.
But right.
At this moment, he's just part of the group that's the top 10, you know. But
what an honor, though, when you think about across the world, yeah. international students his age. That is fantastic. Yeah.
I said, do you recognize that you're top 10 of the world? mm-hmm. So that's pretty fun. And he was, you know, we talked about how did it go for you, and were you relaxed, and, you know, were you at peace, and, you know, did God give you wisdom? And he said, yeah, it was a great spiritual time for him.
For him.
So that was kind of fun to be part of. And then I shared that we were at the Nuggets game that had the, you know, the final shot win.
Yes.
You know, and so we're.
You and Aiden were at that together, right?
Yeah, right in front of it. And we're going again. Now they're in the second playoff series.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got tickets to go to the game number 2, so we'll go to that one. And
excellent.
So we have it's a good, you know, we both like basketball, and we just like being together and have a good time. So
it's a great way to connect, right?
So he's getting ready to go to Baylor and be part of
Sick 'em Bears.
That'll be fun. We'll try to get down there actually to a game this year, and that'll be fun to.
Oh, that'll be great.
Be part of it, yeah. Our other grandson, Joshua, is already there, and I think he's taken might be statistics, but
mm-hmm. he's in his sophomore year, correct?
Sophomore year.
Yeah.
He sent us, Linda, me, and his mom and dad, a survey,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you got to take the survey, and I think he's got to get the data, and he and a group have to tabulate it all, and what does it mean and all that, but the survey was... what kind of music do you want to have played at the Baylor basketball games?
Oh, funny.
and it had a bunch of options, and then if, and one of them, which Linda answered, and this is funny. If you were at the game and it played, uh-huh. and it played this music that you just said you liked, would you stand up and dance?
Oh, well, Linda, that's a resonating yes. No question, that right?
It was a yes plus.
She's,
you know,
the dancing queen.
She's even if you didn't give her an option, she's going to dance anyway, you know. And so it was really clever. You could see that they're trying to show these kids questions and how do you answer and what do they mean. And they kind of gave some funny – some questions were kind of funny like that one. And so he's got a – tabulate it now, and be, you know, that'd be fun to say, okay, well, how did it come out and all that stuff.
That's great. He should be wrapping up as we're taping this. He's probably heading into finals next week, maybe. Is that,
yeah, that's right.
Is that about where Anna's got finals next week, yep. as we're taping this?
Yeah, he finishes next week and comes home at the end of next week.
Yep. Excellent. So yeah, I pick Anna up on the 9th of May. So when this airs, she'll have been home for a bit, but I can't wait.
So he'll be home probably about, I think, 3 to 4 weeks, and then
He's got an internship, right?
Yeah, his dad. His dad, my son, works for Lockheed Martin, he got an internship down in mm-hmm. Dallas, they really pay him well, and they.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be, you know, what a privilege it will be to just be around that and learn.
Oh, absolutely.
How things work, you know, and then, you know, Peter said that. And not interesting enough because Peter works for Lockheed, but he said, you know, with any intern that does well, they primarily work to try to recruit him to come and work for him.
Right. Yeah. It's not uncommon at all.
Yep. So that'll be an interesting thing. So, well, we've been talking about, you know, Christ clutter in the calendar and the premise, and, you know, and Kathy actually had this great thought of, you know, here we are in May. And people are going to be ending school and different. You have a different pattern in the summer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely a different rhythm to life in the summer.
And it kind of things a little bit open up. So we said, well, what a great opportunity to go through this material and evaluate, you know, what are you doing? Where are you? And then what changes that God would have you make to use this opportunity to make a change in your pattern, to get freedom in the thought life and then freedom in your activity life. And so we've been spending the first part of this is just to say, what's the problem? And the problem is that we're working too hard. We're too busy. We're trying to determine our own steps and then try to fulfill those steps and worry about the outcome of those steps. So our task life is full of stuff and we're busy and we're doing way too many things. And then secondly, with this last several sessions have been on what we call an occupied thought life, that we're never really relaxed and free and able to enjoy the margin that we might have, because when we're in that position, we're always thinking about something that's really bothering us. And we talked about guilt. We talked about sin. Sin meaning I'm trying to figure this out, and the burden is on me. And God says, you know, because you're not talking to me, I can't really help you. And then this one is about what I call we're in a, I would say, a pickle, an enigma, a scenario where we try to figure it out, and we just can't find the solution. By the way, that's going to be a lot. so let's look at some interesting verses about this. Is Amos 2, 13 to 16. Amos 2, 13 to 16.
Behold, I am weighed down by you, as a cart full of sheaves is weighed down. Therefore, flight shall perish from the swift. The strong shall not strengthen his power, nor shall the mighty deliver himself. He shall not stand who handles the bow. The swift of foot shall not escape, nor shall he who rides a horse deliver himself. The most courageous men of might shall flee naked in that day, says the Lord.
Yeah. So he says... And this is the beauty of Scripture, by the way. It pretty well describes exactly what the problem is.
Right.
You know, is that you got a problem, and it says you're weighed down because you're overflowing with the burden of it, and the burden itself is weighing you down. So
right.
He says it starts with you got a problem.
And the problem's real.
And the problem's real. And it's heavy in the sense of it's not an easy one. Oh, yeah, sure. If I just do this, it'll go away. It's really heavy because it's complex, probably involving something way beyond us where we can't control it. And he said, you know, it's heavy and it's going to weigh you down. Then it says that... you're not going to be able to strengthen from your own thinking. And he says you will not be able to deliver yourself.
Right.
So that, well, if I can just try harder, I'll get there. He says the more you say that, the more it's going to oppress you. And no matter how hard you try to make this work, you're never going to get there. And you can't get there. And then it says, you're not going to be able to escape, even if you have some help, like a horse in this case. That's not going to help you. You could be the most courageous person there is. You just aren't going to get there. Okay,
right.
So it's describing the oppression of that. Because when you're in the middle of that, and you've attempted these variety of things. I've tried to...
And nothing's working.
and I can't see how this is going to work. And you come to a conclusion, I'm not going to be able to make it out of this. I can't get out of this. Okay, now think about what happens emotionally and in your life when you come to that conclusion about something. What happens to you?
Really, hopelessness and depression often set in there, right?
Yeah, how come?
Oh, just because you're trying to do it on your own, you see no way out. And so you think there is no way out.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You've shifted your eyes to the problem rather than the one who can solve it.
Yeah. And when you come to that conclusion, I tried nothing. You know what? I'm not going to make it.
Right.
You come to a point where you say, I guess it's just gonna be really awful, and I'm just gonna have mm-hmm. to live with it being awful.
And you settle for it, and you sit in this state of weariness with it, though, right?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And by the way, you're still at a point where you're worried about it, you're frustrated about it, you're anxious about it. It hasn't fully happened yet, but you expect it to happen, and so you're constantly thinking of, I wonder what exactly it's going to be like when it happens, and what do I do next? It's interesting, and it's kind of funny in a way, is that after it all happens, when it does happen, and you see what's on the other side of it, it's a little bit different than you thought, and it wasn't actually as oppressive as you thought, even though it's oppressive. You know, and let me describe right. it, because I've been through this in my life when.
Yeah, give us an example here.
Well, when you know, I'd gotten involved in this real estate. Linda said, "Don't do it." You know, I'm going to do it anyway. Other people are telling me, "Don't do it." I did it. I did it at a time when the economy changed.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't something I per se did wrong. It's that everything happened.
A lot of outside factors.
Outside factors. And this was during the end of the Jimmy Carter presidency. But, you know, and when I tell this to young people today, they don't even say, no, I'm sure that's not true. I said the prime rate
mm-hmm.
was 22%.
Wow.
And they,
we think we've got it bad now,
they
right?
They can't even fathom that, you know, that you mean, mm-hmm. you mean you paid 20, I had to pay prime plus one, you paid 23% interest?
That's yeah. crazy.
Well, you,
right?
you and they say, well, you that doesn't work. Yeah, exactly.
Bingo.
That's right. That's exactly right. That didn't work, you know. So that happened. First of all, I spent a lot of energy. And by the way, I'm a believer, and I'm praying, God, take care of it. God, take care of it. God, mm-hmm. take care of it. I'm in trouble. God, take care of it. Wasn't happening.
Right.
So, okay, well, then I'll take care of it. So I'll try this, and try all these things. Nothing happens. Partly because I'm part of a much larger problem than my individual problem.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that I did, in a sense, mattered not. It didn't matter. It was going to happen, you know. And so mm-hmm. you're thinking, how's it going to happen? You come to a point. I came to a point. It ain't going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the consequence, which is what the banks were telling me, is, well, we're going to force you into Chapter 7 bankruptcy. And Chapter 7 is complete liquidation. And so it's not a Chapter 11. Would be, we're going to release your debt structure and restructure things so that you can keep doing what you're doing and just pay it back over a certain process. 7 is, there's no.
Yeah. You literally watch them come to your house and take things out of your house,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was. You know, it's complete annihilation. So I'm gonna have to file bankruptcy, you know, and you fret and you think and you worry and, how can I get out of it? And you can't, you know, and you finally say, you know what, I'm not going to get out of it, but you're still thinking about the bankruptcy and how awful this is going to be. And oh my gosh. And, all of that. And then you got to go through all the whole process, you know, and it's just occupies everything about it. And then finally you go bankrupt. Well, you go bankrupt and they come and take your cars and, you know, you don't have any money and, you know, all this stuff happens. After that happened, it was awful, but it's a little bit like, oh, well, it's over. you really don't have to think about the consequence. You're in the consequence.
Right. But the consequence is not unknown anymore and sitting out there in dread.
And there's no more trying to make it work. It's just, it didn't work. Okay. There was an interesting, because I was at that point, there was, well, there's no more to think about that. It's over. Okay. So now I'm thinking about, okay, how do I rebuild, my economics and my life again? And Linda was saying, okay, it happened. So what? God can restore this. And of course, I didn't believe it at that point. And what I went into is what we talked about last time was I went into the guilt piece of it.
Right.
You caused this. You did this. You deserve this. And I focused on my failure as opposed to God saying, which he finally said is when I went through forgiveness and released the guilt, are you going to let me walk you into the good stuff?
Right.
And everything changed at that point. But when it did happen, even I spent all that energy about it. After it happened, in a sense, that piece of it kind of goes away because there's nothing more to think about. It's already done. Now you got to deal with the guilt and you got to deal with what's next. But we spend a lot of time trying to prevent that consequence that we think we have no shot at. And you get discouraged and you get stuck. Actually, Christ says it in a different way. Go to Matthew 6, 25 to 32.
It says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, and what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things."
Yeah. And so he basically says, is it going to do you any good to worry? Why are you worrying?
Right.
What value is that? And he basically says, and it's kind of interesting because he uses this interesting phrase, does worrying add any height to you at all? In other words, are you really going to change in any way? You're not going to grow physically. And I'm trying to tell you everything else is in the same place. You ain't going to have any impact on this at all. Why are you doing this? You're fretting. Why? Because I don't know the outcome. I'm trying to figure out the outcome. I can't get to the outcome. You're worry, and anxiety. And the word anxiety there is you're concerned about the outcome and trying to fix the outcome.
Right.
He said, don't spend your energy there. Don't spend your time there. It's an interesting statement that you can take all of your occupation of your thinking, and if you're in the place of worry and anxiety, he said you've really missed it completely. Because it's so, and what he's saying is it's a waste of time, and all it's going to do is just make it heavier for you, and you're going to get more and more discouraged, and there's no value to that. And so he tells us here that. You're going to get in a lot of situations that you can't figure out yourself.
Right.
And if you understand that you aren't even going to know, even if you could think you could figure it out, you really can't anyway, because it's trickier and more interesting than you think. And by the way, I know that, and we're going to get into this. God says, I know the answer.
Right.
Why don't you just let me show you the answer?
Yeah, we think we're much better at being God than we are, right?
We're not that good at it.
No, we're not.
And yet we keep taking it back, and trying, 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 because mm-hmm. again, that's our nature. And see, God, in order to help us have freedom, I've got to show you a different way of doing this, mm-hmm. Because it's natural for us to go to this place of discouragement and frustration and be at a point of, I can't get out of this, and I'm at an enigma, or a point where what I would call a double bind. No matter what I do, mm-hmm. I can't win it. He said it's going to occupy your mind.
Yeah.
And you're not going to have the joy. And interesting enough, and it slops over, when your mind is occupied this, you actually increase your activity then to fix it. So you're getting a double hit.
Right.
Not only is your mind occupied, but now you're doing way, way too many things that you shouldn't even be doing in the first place.
Well, and the other side of that that I think happens is we'll fill our calendar, trying to do so much, not even to solve it, but to avoid what we're feeling and hearing in our mind.
Yeah.
Because we're trying to distract ourselves from the anxiety of what it is that we're dealing with.
That's
and
right.
So even if it's not related to that, we tend to fill things up so that we're not sitting alone with our thoughts and our anxiety,
yeah.
right?
That's right. Yep. Yeah. So we're trying to again describe, and a lot of people I know are listening are saying, yeah, I can relate to
that. I get that.
So we're just trying to set up the reasons and the causes, and then we're going to get, you know, pretty soon to start working on, okay, how do we walk the other direction? So Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can identify with this, because we're all in those positions where we try to figure it out and we can't. We get discouraged. We give up. We're at a place of a double bind, and we're just overwhelmed by the burden of that. And so we just pray that we'll learn to release it and to walk with you and let you resolve things and bring us to the place of great freedom, and that we would restructure our activities so that we have margin and that we have a relaxed lifestyle. So we praise you and we thank you now in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks so much for sharing, Rich. Look forward to where this is going and getting into the meat of the other side of it, yeah, right?
Yes.
But if you have questions today that have come up, or if you're in what Rich would call a double bind here, if there's something that's really nagging at you and you just don't see, and you want to send it in and you want some help navigating through that, send it in to questions@abideministries.com, and we would love to talk to you about it. Meanwhile, we look forward to seeing you next time. Have a great day.
See you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments, and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.